There was a chilling moment in this past weekend's Trump supporter march in Washington. Fox News was doing live coverage when the screen was filled with a sign that read, "Coming for Blacks and Indians first. Welcome to the New World Order." It was up for several seconds before the network cut away, the anchor acknowledging, "We just saw a disturbing sign." Well, there were also armed white supremacist militias in attendance. Now, people on the left working to bridge the divide between what appears to be two Americas are not suggesting reaching out to them. But what about millions of other Americans who voted for Donald Trump? A couple years ago, we heard about liberals from Western Massachusetts who reached out through a friend to conservatives in Kentucky in 2016. Here was the initial response in Kentucky.
Well, I was a little apprehensive, afraid it was another Save the Dumb Hillbillies project. We've really been exploited many times by the media.
They overcame their fears. The group is now called Hands Across the Hills. Let's bring back Paula Green, a conflict resolution expert from Leverett, Massachusetts. Paula, welcome back.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Good to speak with you. And Gwen Johnson joins us from Whitesburg, Kentucky. She's the daughter of a strip miner. Gwen, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
This was not easy in 2016. You talked about some of your fellow Kentuckians when you made a trip up to Western Mass. Like, I think you packed all your own food because you weren't sure what people ate.
Yeah, well, we were really apprehensive, but we felt like it was a conversation that needed to be had.
Yeah. And Paula, how did some of your liberal friends from Western Massachusetts view these people from a coal mining community who had voted for Donald Trump?
Well, this project was created by a whole community of us, and we were also anxious, didn't know who our guests would actually turn out to be. But we were also very eager to begin this process.
Mm-hmm. You came to this understanding of each other, and the key on one side had to do with the Holocaust, the other, the dangerous life of miners. Let's listen to what you told us in 2018, starting with Gwen in Kentucky.
Well, I've always been aware of the Holocaust, but I could really sympathize when they began to talk about the family experiences around that. It was rich to be among them. It was rich.
Two things came for us. One is the tremendous pride that people had in mining. World War II, the miners were heroes. They couldn't even be drafted because they had to stay home and keep mining coal for the war effort. And the other thing we heard was a tremendous danger and death. People talk about husbands, fathers, brothers, sons dying in the mines, either from black lung or from boulders that fall. So I think the compassion built up on both sides.
Paula, did it hold up?
I would say that it held up with us well. First of all, I thought long and hard about what the first dialogue ought to be about because in the beginning I wanted to try to build common ground and create safety. And so I settled on family stories because we all have family stories. As it turned out, two of the women in our group had Holocaust histories. And I think for our Kentucky colleagues, that was a moment of revelation and empathy building. And then when they talked about coal mining, that same was true for us. And I would say that our relationships have held up very well. We've met together three times over the 4 years, and we've built something very solid.
Just the respect that was shown to try to understand, not to stereotype. Folks wanted to hear our stories, and we wanted to hear theirs. What has happened is that these friendships have grown. And so when the winner was declared, I made a couple of calls to Leverett to say congratulations.
You mean the winner, Joe Biden, in this recent election? Was that with a lump in your throat? I mean, how did you feel about Donald Trump losing?
We're apprehensive. People are downcast and fearful. But we are Americans. And when that person wins the election, then they are our president. He will be my president. But in the past, we have felt retaliation.
Are you saying you feel retaliation from the new administration that comes in, maybe federal funding or retaliation from average Americans? What do you feel?
Retaliation from the administration.
geez, I mean, you know, people would say, wow, you got Mitch McConnell, who seems to, you know, be in a very powerful position. But that's how you feel. Paula, how have you guys weathered this notion that she's profoundly disappointed in the election? I'm presuming you're not. You know, how do you help yourself through that?
Those relationships are not about our politics. They're about our personhoods. And on that level, I think we've stayed pretty connected. And we know that some of us vote differently. And we were never in the business of trying to convert or convince or cajole the other to change their minds.
What is the ingredient that has kept you guys together? Gwen said she felt respect. But a lot of people hearing that are going to say, how do I demonstrate that when I don't respect somebody on the other side, you know, of the political spectrum? So how do you, what does that look like?
For us, respect is separated from political views. Disrespecting others is damaging. It's insulting. I don't disrespect them. That's really not okay.
So Gwen, you said, you know, it was respect. What does that feel like to you? What does respect look and feel like?
It looks and feels like active listening, someone who genuinely is trying to understand, who is genuinely interested in what you have to say. Mm.
Paula, you're a professional. Can you give the rest of us some tips? How do you do that? I mean, I know there are techniques like using the I word instead of the you word, but give us some of the building blocks.
Well, I've learned the value of having lots of time. We had hours of dialogue every day. We also had music, dance, drama, endless potluck meals, walks. Not all of us are skilled verbally. Some of us enter relationships through different doors, so we had many of them. And we included our larger community because we wanted more people to have the impact of meeting others who they were stereotyping and to be able to shift out of those stereotypes.
So Gwen, talk about some of the ground rules. What are you not encouraged to do?
Crosstalk when someone else is talking is one thing. So if I'm the one speaking, everyone just respectfully listens. And it sets up an environment where we come to know these personal stories. And there was someone from Leverett who made the comment that before they met us, that we were cardboard cutout figures. And we became real. Hmm.
Did it change the way you watched the news over the past year? Did you find yourself seeing people as opposed to, as you said, cardboard cutouts?
Yes. I attended a peaceful protest just to stand in solidarity with those who have been accosted wrongly. Breonna Taylor and George Floyd's situations and murders. So it just broadened our view. I always say that once the mind is stretched beyond where it was, it can't go back to the same shape. And so ours have been stretched by this collaboration with our friends in Leverett. And I would venture to say that theirs have been stretched as well.
Yeah. But Paul, I have to ask you, how do people do this? We, you know, not everyone can have a friend in Kentucky who can arrange, you know, several days of meeting.
Well, I think it could be approached within our own communities through church groups, civic organizations, schools, neighborhoods. Many of us have people who voted differently inside our own families, and learning how to speak to them is another outcome that's possible. So we don't all have the very good fortune of being able to meet people who live 1,000 miles away, but we can meet people who live a mile away and who think differently and vote differently. We developed our guidelines together. We worked hard on them for a long time. We wrote them down, put them on big flip chart paper, and kept them in the room so we could remind ourselves if we ever slipped. And they helped everybody feel safe.
One of the things that helped us to feel safe was we put in an ounce. And so if we felt wounded by something that was said, we just said ounce.
You put in an ounce. Just, you give us hope. That's Massachusetts resident Paula Green and Kentucky's Gwen Johnson, part of a group called Hands Across Hills, formed in 2016 to bridge the divide, and a conversation, as we hear, that's continued. Paula, Gwen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
You.